invite you to pray with me. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. At the 11th hour, maybe you know this, on the 11th day of the 11th month of 1918, fighting ceased between the Germans and the Allies, and all was quiet on the Western Front. This was the end, as we said earlier, of World War I, the Great War, as it was first known. 100 years ago, people thought that that war would be the war to end all wars. And sadly, as we know, this was not to be the case. I remember a dear woman in another congregation always used to bring poppies for people on the day or the Sunday that would be right around Veterans Day. And the poppies, of course, originated from that beautiful poem, "In Flanders Fields the Poppies Grow, Between the Crosses, Row by Row." So today is exactly, because it's November 11th, exactly 100 years since that first Armistice Day. And then we came, of course, into many wars in this century, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and some of you who stood have been a part of one of those wars. When I learned recently from some friends that their 18-year-old son had registered for the draft, my heart sank, knowing, you know, this is what they needed to do, of course. But even with all the increasing sort of everyday violence around us, war and combat is still very real, very tragic, and still the last resort for we Christians, even in just wars, because we are people of peace. We are not at war right now, but we still live in anxious times, don't we? Out in Vermont, I guess there was a heated race. This is post-election week, right? So there was a heated race out in Vermont for the state legislature, and there was a lengthy debate back in October. I read about where the two political rivals, Lucy Rogers and Zachary Mayo, were having an intense debate about things like paid family leave, carbon tax, big issues. But after the debate was over, in the local library, they put down their papers and their notes, and they picked up, Zachary picked up a guitar, and Lucy picked up a cello, and they played music together. I thought of Trinity, actually, how we play this music, and it brings us together, even across our differences. They sang a song called Society, which basically talks about the competitiveness in society and how there's a hope for a better way. Lucy Rogers did win the seat, I found out, after all. But one person who witnessed the debate that day said the winner of the debate by a landslide was hope. Hope. So this week I want to continue our series about telling our story, sharing God's love. We've heard from Jack, and I want to continue to invite you to think about how we can be people of hope, how we can be people who share God's love, changing the world through telling our story and sharing that love. In the mail this week, you'll receive a letter reminding you about our brunch, because we're all about the food here at Trinity. We know food gets you in the door, right? In that letter also, there'll be a commitment card. And we're doing a little bit differently this year. We're mailing out the commitment cards for our annual stewardship series and inviting you to bring that back next week. If you forget, we'll have extras, of course. But I invite you to take time this week to pray over that, because on the card will be something similar to what Miss Jackie handed out to the children. There'll be ways for you to commit to praying for this congregation, to be present, to share your gifts, your service, and your witness. These are the promises, by the way, that we make, that our new members make when they stand up here before the congregation. It may have been so long ago now that you forgot about that. Entirely possible that you may not remember that. As a seventh grader, I may have said these vows. I must have when I was confirmed in the church, but I was much more concerned, I have to admit, about standing up in front of 500 people in my white confirmation dress that day, way back when I was 12 years old. But these are the vows that people make on behalf, parents make them on behalf of their children when they're baptized here at Trinity. And so we promise to pray for one another, to be present for one another, to show up, to give generously through our gifts and our service, and to share the love of God with the world. just like we've been doing here at Trinity for the past 60 years. And next slide there, we'll continue to do so for the next 60 years, the year 2078, people, 60 years from now. Some of these youth right here, this was last Sunday night at youth group, some of those youth will be right here leading things. Austin, I think, will be about the age of some of you in this congregation. Josephine Owens, sitting right here, and Laura Garcia, our newest babes, will be turning 60 that year, in the year 2070. Hard to believe that right now, isn't it? But what we do now, just like those people way back in 1958 when they started Trinity, what we do now and the ways we live out our faith and live out these promises to support our church, and I hear Josephine talking about it to us right now, that will affect and influence who and what the church is 60 years from now. Just a few things about this second part of the promise, the gifts and service part of that promise. Our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. Last week, our newly formed strategic planning team, Trinity 2020, met for the first time. And one of the things we know at this 60-year mark in the life of our congregation is that business as usual doesn't work anymore. We were talking about that in our meeting. What this means is that we can't take anything for granted about the way things have been done in the past. There's much to build upon. But one of the things I want you to know that I don't take for granted at all is your generosity. The generosity of so many people in this room that has been lived out in these membership vows. Your money, of course, but also your service to others has made Trinity what we are today, a place where faith and hope can grow. The fact that we open our doors every Friday night to 30 to 40 homeless and transient neighbors is because of that generosity. The fact that we can hear beautiful music played, that was gorgeous. Joshua fit the Battle of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down at the offertory. Beautiful musicians and beautiful instruments on which to play right here. And I know that came from the Bjork family some years ago in honor of Joanne. The fact that our retirees can gather for lunch and encourage one another for Trinity Treasures. The fact that on any given day, weekday, you can hear these precious 2 to 5-year-olds running down the halls of the Trinity Preschool because of many of you who helped make that preschool happen. The fact that our family, the Parsonage situation, is blessed with such a nice home to live in. The fact that we have invested in our ministry staff through the years, and we see the fruits of that in so many different ways. That is because of your generosity right here in this room. And that youth room up there, Marie Cotton was at the first service, but another act of generosity that's so wonderful. So did you know that studies show that generosity can actually make us happier? If that's the case, then Trinity must be a pretty happy place. According to a book called The Paradox of Generosity, there is a connection between generosity and happiness. You may already know this in your life. Christian Smith and Hillary Davidson did a study. They surveyed 2,000 individuals, 40 families in 12 different states, different races and ethnic backgrounds, and they surveyed them over a 5-year period about their spending habits and their lifestyles. And the participants who said that they were very happy were those who reported volunteering for 5.8 hours per month. You might listen to this and see how that plays into your own life. And among those who were very happy were those who donated more than 10% of their income. Participants reported lower depression rates and that they were happier. And it wasn't just that. It wasn't just about money and time. It was also that they found that these participants were more emotionally generous in their relationships, in their closest relationships with family and friends. Giving love and emotional availability. These were in much better health than those who were not. In short, being able to sort of step outside yourself makes one more generous and therefore more happy. But we Christians know that generosity is also a matter of the heart, don't we? And it is a matter that relates not just to membership in a church. I mean, we're not a YMCA, right, as wonderful as that is, or a country club. It's a matter that has everything to do with what it means for us to follow Jesus. to be a disciple, to change the world. And to be a disciple goes back to that root word. It takes discipline. And one of the spiritual disciplines is indeed generous giving. And we followers of Jesus are called to develop a muscle for it, to practice it. Some of us are born naturally just being generous. Most babies come out pretty generous, but life happens. And we have to practice and refine that muscle. So the widow in the famous story of the widow's mite, she was one that knew how to do it. She gave all that she had. And I don't think, friends, that this means that we're called to go out and give so sacrificially that we don't have enough to pay the bills or don't have enough to give our children something to eat, of course. But as always, Jesus' stories call us to look at our heart. And many of us, including myself, sometimes give very generously, but our heart isn't always in it. Perhaps we're giving more out of duty or obligation. So developing this muscle for generous giving means being able to open our hand and to let go and to really mean it. That's why I often practice, by the way, praying with my hands just on my lap like this. You might even try this at home sometime, or you can do it right now, but you start like this because, gosh, we want to hold on to so much in our life, don't we? And then as you pray, just to open up your hand and to let go and to let God take care of it and handle it. So my prayer for Trinity right now, at this point in our lives of faith, is that we talk about money and giving as our promise that we make when we join the church and renewing those promises, but not just because the church needs it. I mean, we do need it, right? And I'm grateful to people like Lloyd Unger and the Finance Committee for helping us to understand better where we are. I think that's been good for us. But one of my favorite quotes about congregations and money, and I've shared this with others before, is this. Two things are true of congregations, according to church consultant Ken Callahan. One is that congregations never have enough money, right? And the second thing is, congregations have all the money they really need for God's mission. That's true for our own individual lives too, isn't it? There is never enough, it seems, but then somehow there is. There is. But you and I also need to give. We are created in the image of a generous God. Genesis reminds us in chapter 1 that God is an incredibly generous God. And giving of our time and our talent and our treasure is in our DNA. But I also want us to be able to talk about money, not just about giving, but throughout the year, because it's what we really worry about, isn't it? I mean, we worry about our health, we worry about our jobs, but we really worry about money. We wonder, perhaps, some of you may ask, can we really share and still have enough? Will our money last as long as we do? We're living longer and longer, right? Will we be able to help our children and our grandchildren with what they need for college or other needs? Will we be able to pay our own bills? What happens if we need more care or our health declines rapidly? And so these questions are a part of our life of faith, and often it's in the questions and the worry. That's where God's going to meet us. That's where God's going to show up. And so my prayer at Trinity is that we can create a space where we can pray for one another in these questions. These are the ones that we might not share out loud, right, during prayer time. Where's the money going to come from, or how is there going to be enough? But we are thinking about them, all of us, most of the time. So this week, as you prepare for this Commitment Sunday next Sunday, I invite both you and myself to entrust ourselves with praying about where our heart is at this time when it comes to sharing our own gifts with the congregation, with this congregation that we love. I am thrilled that in our family we have this commitment card, not just for the adults, but for the children, and I believe there's one coming for the youth as well that Jackie and Austin have worked to put together. And so together as a family, we will talk again about how our practice of tithing, our own family practice of tithing or giving 10% has worked in our lives or sometimes been hard. And we'll look at our family budget and we'll show our kids this is what we do, and we will ask them to do the same. We'll talk about how Jesus is always teaching us how to share, not just out of obligation, but out of that place in our hearts where generous giving comes from. And we'll give thanks for the incredible and unexpected sometimes blessings that we have received from God's people in the church, in the body of Christ. The people, some of you, but in other congregations who have shaped us and mentored us, encouraged us, prayed for us, and touched our lives. The fruits of the Spirit that we've seen in congregations over the years. I pray to God that as you continue to consider what your commitment will be, how you will live out those vows of supporting the church with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness, that you will never let go of the power of that love in Jesus that frees us from all of our worry, that allows us to open up our hands in such a way that we can receive that great love that a generous God has for us, that forges us into faithful living, and that forms us into generous giving. May it be so for you, for me, and for all God's people here at Trinity. Amen.